As I was preparing during the week to bring God's word to you today, and then coming here this morning, the same thing happened. Just about everything that SP prayed and spoke about, just about everything that Lillian said today, I was sitting there thinking, have they been in my mind and in my heart this week? Do you ever feel like that when Roger or Kevin or anyone preaches? God has touched me and wow. Well, that's nothing at all to do with what's going on in today. I want to take you back to 1984 when Marilyn and I moved into the Bible College campus just outside of Auckland. We moved into a two-bedroom unit on campus at the college. The college was in the middle of a semi-rural area, and in that area, many of the farms grew or had orchards or vineyards, and so it was really a peaceful place to be. You could go from one place to another in the summer months, and one would be growing grapes, another one would have apples, plums, kiwi fruit, peaches, and so it would go on. It was just one of those beautiful areas to have a Bible college situated in. And the Bible college actually owned some land and had orchards themselves. And they employed a full-time manager. And every harvesting season, the students, and the college was about over 200 full-time students and about 50 part-time, the students would have rosters to go and help harvest the fruit. And this helped to subsidize the cost of running the college. Well, unfortunately, that area is all gone now. It's all flats and factories, and there's hardly a fruit tree to be seen anywhere. But you know, in the summer seasons, you could go down to the orchard, and as we often did, we'd walk from our unit, and you could walk among the trees, among the vines, and spend time sitting there meditating on God's word. What a beautiful time to do that. And one of the passages that often I meditated on and have done since is found in John chapter 15. And I would invite you this morning, if you have your Bible with you, to open it up at John 15. I've got no overheads today, so you're going to have to listen very carefully. Open up your Bible to John 15, and I invite you to come and sit under an apple tree or under the tree of your choice, to sit and to listen to God and to meditate on His Word as we do that together this morning. I'm going to read to you from the NASB version, but follow in whatever version you have. And I will read, because we do not have any overheads, I will read slowly for you, for those whose language, English is not their first language. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. For this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, as we hear from you, as we look into your word, my prayer is that each one of us today will draw closer to Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to do that, we pray, for your sake. Amen. As I said, for the next few moments, we're going to sit beneath a tree in the orchard and meditate on Jesus. Meditate perhaps on your life and how in 2013 your walk with Jesus is going to develop. I know that we all get to the beginning of a new year and we all hope that things are going to change. But just this morning as we meditate, let's meditate on how our walk with Jesus is going to change this year, 2013. We could, of course, spend all day, in fact all week, digesting those verses, the treasures contained in them. However, today I'm just going to pick three treasures. I call them treasures. There's far more than three, but I picked three. That come from the mouth of Jesus to his disciples, to you and I, to you and I. Attached to all three of these treasures, however, is one word which is so important to understand as we look at this passage. And that word is abide. So before we look at those treasures, it's good to figure out and to discuss what that word means, right? What does it mean to abide? Jesus used it quite freely in these verses. And I'm sure those listening to him at the time, the disciples, they understood what he meant. As we, over the years, over the centuries, as the Word of God has been translated into English in particular, there's a, if you like, a deviation from in some ways as to what that word really means. There are several ways to look at it, but the core Greek word, and you don't need to know this, but the core Greek word which you do know, means to stay in one place. To stay in one place, like the home that you live in is one place where we live. It could be said of each of us that where we live is where we abide. Now, if we look at if some of you have got the NIV version or the translation, and it's translated as remain in the NIV, which I think is a little unfortunate because that does not give the true meaning of this word, abide. Let me explain to you what I mean. When our service is over here this morning, and we're ready to go home, there may be one or two of you, including myself, who want to remain or stay behind to do something else. We remain here to do other things. I stay in this place. I stay behind. I remain here. Another older word that's similar to that is that I tarry. I tarry. But to abide is far more expansive than that. It's far more expressive than that. And here in John 15, it means this, and take note. Making yourself at home with Jesus in an intimate and organic relationship. I'll say that again. Making yourself at home, that's partly remaining, making yourself at home, and here's the important part, with Jesus in an intimate and organic relationship. The Lord makes his home in you and me, and he desires that intimate relationship with each of us. He abides in us. Are you beginning to see the difference? Abide is all about relationship. And in the same way, we are to make our home in him. And through this personal relationship, we abide with Jesus. Now, it has connotations of perseverance, of patience, of maintenance, of communication, obedience, intimate conversation, and so on. All these things are the hallmark of a blessed relationship with Jesus, abiding in him. Those of you with a husband or a wife can appreciate the preciousness of these treasures and these attributes. You see, you may stay at a friend's home for a short while. You will remain there. But when you abide in the place where your heart is, it's far more precious. Marilyn and I, some of you already know that Marilyn and I were here for, I can't remember how long now. We were in Australia anyway for 11 years, much of it in this church, before we went back to where we came from, in New Zealand, in 2000. 4 years later, we returned to Brisbane. And as we flew over and circled round over Moreton Bay to come into land, and I maybe have told some of you this, I looked out of the window in the aeroplane and I said, I sighed and I said, I'm home. I'm home. And my hope today, my true hope today, is that you desire more than anything to abide in Jesus, to be in that place that causes you to sigh in his presence and say, I'm home. I'm home. In the presence of Jesus. The first treasure we want to see coming from the mouth of Jesus to his disciples is seen in verse 4, where it's clear that abiding in Jesus makes us strong. In the autumn season and going into winter, at least in this part of the world, and indeed in Israel, where this is set, that part of the world, after the fruit has been harvested from the vine and the fruit trees. By the way, we had apples every day of the year at lunch at Bible College. That's great. Anyway, that's another story. You see, when that's all happened and when all the fruits come in, the vine dresser carefully prunes back each of the plants, each of the vines, each of the trees. He does it skillfully, and he cuts the branches so that during the winter months, the plant rests And as we read in our passage, those branches are thrown away and they're burned. They're of no use anymore. Then comes spring, because of the pruning that took place a few months prior to that, strong, healthy branches, fruit-bearing branches, begin to grow on the vine. The new branches are at home in an intimate relationship with the vine. They gain their strength from the vine. They are abiding. And as the new fruit forms and grows, develops and starts off just with a little, after the blossom is gone and it starts off, it grows bigger and bigger. I bought some Pink Lady apples yesterday. They're monstrous. Really. The big apples are juicier, you know. And the skins are not as hard. But anyway, that's another point too. But as they grow, they get heavier and heavier and heavier. And sometimes if you walk through the orchard or the vineyard, you'll see there's so much heavy fruit on the branch that it's bending right over. Sometimes touching the ground without snapping. Have you noticed that? Yeah. The weight of the fruit is so colossal that the branches are holding it. The branches are strong because they're abiding in the vine. They're drawing their strength from the vine. There's so much fruit that's weighing them down. Perhaps there are weights bearing down on some of us at the beginning of this new year. Areas of weakness that may end up breaking us. I don't know everyone's personal details, and if what is happening to you right now happened to me when I listened to my pastor preaching, I haven't been in your homes, so I don't know what's happening. But I do know that when we abide in Jesus, when we have that intimate relationship with the Lord, according to this verse, and on the authority of this verse, we are stronger and able to bear it all. Let's get down to some business in this area, shall we? A few, not examples, but a few things that may cause us to break. You may be able to identify, and there are hundreds of them. I've just got a few here. I asked the question this morning, are you a forgiving person? Now, I know that we know God asks us to forgive each other, but some of us don't always do that, do we? So I asked the question, are you a forgiving person? Are you unforgiving? Sorry. Someone has sinned against you and you cannot forgive them. You know, the Bible tells us that that eats at you and makes you sick. In your relationship with others, that's come off, right? In your relationship with others, are you always putting them first? A lack of humility can weigh you down as well. Are you suffering in financial ways this year? Now, I don't mean are you suffering financially because of the things that you want. I mean, are you suffering financially? This can be a very heavy burden too. And are you lusting after someone of the opposite sex? Now, usually when that's said at the pulpit, it's referring to men, but ladies, you're not let off the hook either. And the list goes on and on and on. This is the most important statement you will hear today, this day. your strength to bear things in your life that weigh you down and will cause you to break comes only from abiding in Jesus, in the vine. I hope you get that. And I trust you will take it to heart. So abiding in Jesus makes us stronger. And secondly, abiding in his word / words will bring provision of all that we ask for. I say word because word is the whole of God's word to us. But then, for most of us, in our Bibles, the words of Jesus are highlighted in red, or another highlighted colour. That's why I bring them both, because it's important to not only delve in the word, but also listen to the words of Jesus. Now, you know, words in our society, as I preached about this time last year, are often cheap. And certainly many of them are meaningless when it comes to living life to the full. If I was to ask you who reads God's word regularly, many of you would raise your hands to the affirmative. Well, I hope you would anyway. And perhaps if I ask you, do you meditate and digest God's word regularly, a few of the hands might come down. I don't know. But there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Let me demonstrate, and I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any names. You all know that Marilyn, my wife, if you don't know, see, you already know what I'm going to say, don't you? She loves a joke and she's got a good sense of humour. I don't need to say any more. No, you all know that about Marilyn. And with her in mind, I'm going to give you a laugh, all right? You've already laughed too much. This is the sort of reply that Marilyn gets to announcements that she sends out by email. And it could be anything. I've just chosen one item, all right? This is the sort of thing. Now, the notice that could be sent out is this. Listen to it carefully, because again, not on the overheads. I'll say it slowly. The announcement is prayer meeting. 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Saturday, the 5th of July, at the training centre. You got that? Prayer meeting, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. Saturday, the 5th of July, at the training centre. Words, they communicate. Here's some of the replies. Marilyn, what time does the prayer meeting start? I kid you not. Marilyn, is it on Friday or Saturday? Marilyn, where will the prayer meeting be held? And just this morning on the way to church, Marilyn shared with me that she put a thing on Facebook, and I don't go on Facebook, so I don't know how it works, but she was telling a person or some people that last night we had a thunderstorm and we got lots of lightning and lots of rain and wind. One reply came back, Marilyn, was there thunder? It's a laugh, I know. In the context of these verses today, especially verse 7, there's a difference between abiding in God's words, and just reading it, rushing over it. You can read something, but you don't digest it. He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Remember we said that abide means making yourself at home with Jesus in an intimate and organic relationship. Abiding in Jesus means that we don't only read his word, we digest it, because we're living in that relationship with him. All importantly, the verse reveals a treasure too, a real treasure. If we abide in his word, he will provide whatever we ask. Did you notice that? He will provide whatever we ask for. For one reason or another, unfortunately, some of us feel as though we can't ask, or we don't ask. We feel unworthy to ask God to provide. Shyness, timidity. How many times have you been next to someone in a prayer meeting and they're too shy to pray? It's our Heavenly Father. Anyway, that's another point. Timidity, fear, or sometimes even unbelief prevents us from asking God to provide. When Jesus taught his lesson about the fig tree in Matthew 21, he concluded in verse 22 with these words, "All things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall or you will receive." Why don't we ask? Why don't we ask? As many of you know, I've had a background, and perhaps most of my life, been involved as a salesman. Even now, I've got my own business. I still have to go out and sell to get customers. Unfortunately, it's a profession that has got a bad name. Let's be honest about it. But actually, if you are a true professional salesman, a bona fide salesman, you have all the ethics and honesty and everything that you need to do your job properly. As a salesperson, my job is to outline the features of the product or service that I'm presenting to the customer. Then to discover how those products will satisfy his particular needs. And to do that by latching onto the features and benefits of a product, what the customer needs, and then telling him or sharing with him the benefits of using the product. And when we come to an agreement and the potential customer is really deeply satisfied that what I have will satisfy his needs, in a sense, he doesn't do this, but he sighs and he says, "Yes, I want it," because that's for him. That is when the good salesperson will ask. They'll ask for the sale, for the order. So many salespeople get to this stage in the process and fear that the customer was going to say no. No to the deal. So they don't ask. Here's the point. If you are abiding in God's word, digesting and meditating in it, the deal, listen to this, the deal is already complete. It's been shared this morning, the deal is complete because Jesus died on a cross, was crucified, died for your sin, my sin, rose again, and will take us one day to be with him forever. The deal is complete, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, to stop you asking him. If you are abiding with him and you know the deal is complete, you ask him, "Lord, provide this for me." Amen? Let's be a church in 2013, particularly with what SP has just shared with us about the building. Let's be a church that continues to ask God to provide. The third treasure we can observe today is all about the single most powerful attribute of God, His love. Again, we've been touched on this morning in our singing and so on. Without His love for us, there will be no strength to be gained, there'd be no provision for our lives. In fact, life would be totally unbearable. Meaningless. But the Bible tells us that God is love. It's His nature. God is love. We could spend a whole lifetime meditating on God's love and still not fully appreciate the full extent of it. Here's just one aspect that we can think about as we sit under that tree in the vineyard. And it's this: God's love is unconditional. Again, we've sung about that this morning. Let me draw your attention to Romans 5:8. It says this: "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You and I, in fact, the whole of the human population, are sinners, unable to abide with God because of that sin. And God, through His unconditional love towards humanity, made the personal sacrifice of His Son, the sin bearer of the world, or for the world. Through His death on the cross, the way to abiding with God has been accomplished. Now here's the vitally important aspect of God's unconditional love. And we sang again, sang again today. In spite of all that we are, all that you are, God loves you. I don't know whether we've got any real convicted criminals here. I won't ask you to put your hands up. But you know, as an example, if you're a convicted murderer, if you are a convicted rapist, a pedophile, let's come down the chain a bit. If you're a thief, an adulterer, an angry and bitter person, an unforgiving person, as we've mentioned earlier, if you're full of hate for others, if you're a person that's jealous, constantly jealous, you're a drunkard, and it could go on and on and on and on. Hear this morning, because it's the greatest news in history. It's the greatest news you will ever hear. God loves you. Let me say it again. God loves you. Once more. God loves you. Later on in the book of Romans, Paul says, "Nothing will separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. God loves you, and nothing is going to separate that love from you, His love from you. Ah. Now, if some of you have been following along in that passage, you'll go down to verse 10 and you'll say, oh, Derek's got it all wrong. There's a condition and God's love is based on obeying the commandments. Parents may understand this a little better. There's a great love bond between parents and children. And the love of a mum and dad towards a child is unconditional. You understand where I'm coming from? Just as God's love is unconditional for us. When a child constantly does that which he or she shouldn't do by disobeying the parents, abiding in that special way, that special relationship is strained. A barrier is built up. Tell me, does that change your love for your child? You might be happy, you might not be happy with what's going on, and the relationship is in tatters. In some cases, you may have even kicked your child out of home. Maybe 18 or 19, they cannot live by the rules of your home, and there's no abiding, the relationship is broken, and so you kick them out, or you ask them to leave. That may be the case, I don't know. Does it stop you loving them? The condition is on the commandments and obeying the rules of the home, and in love is experienced. If that child decides, well, I'm going to go back home because I'm now prepared to obey all the rules, and I'll start abiding and having a relationship with my parents again. Hallelujah! You will experience the love they have for you. Jesus here is encouraging his disciples to continue abiding by obeying his commands and thus experiencing God's love. I want to thank you for sitting under the tree with me this morning. Thanks for sitting there with me in the vineyard. The sun's beginning to set and it's time to get up and go home. It's not quite that late, but it's time to go home. And as we slowly walk back to our home, through the fields, through the orchards, let's think about what the Lord has spoken into our hearts. Perhaps we may ask ourselves some deep and searching questions. Number one, I think, would center around the question of, am I really abiding in Jesus? Is my walk with Jesus by way of an intimate and organic relationship? Do I know that when I'm in his presence, I am home? Do I sigh? Not because I'm relieved, but that sigh, that joy, the joy of being with him. Perhaps your question might be, am I stronger because I abide in him? Or do I snap when sin and life in general weighs me down? Let me encourage those of you in that position of being weighed down, and whatever it might be, based on God's word, if you abide in him and he abides in you, the branches are not going to break. And even some of you might be concerned about God's provision. I know that we're going to build, we are going to build, by God's grace and provision, a worship centre in here. Amen? Amen? We've got to ask him. We've got to ask him. Now I know that some of us are a little reticent to go down that path. Maybe that's not the right word. We don't know whether it's going to happen or whether it's the right thing to do. Just ask God. Ask God. And finally, there may be some here that are questioning God's love for them. You might be thinking to yourself, I'm just a wicked person. He couldn't love me. You don't know what I've done. There's no way God could love me. If that's you today, let it be known. Let it be known from the rooftops of all the buildings in Brisbane, Australia, the whole of the world, from the rooftops, that God loves you. Hallelujah and amen. Let's pray together. Father, today is a day for some of us that might be the first day of the rest of our life of abiding in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for pointing that out to us. And by your Spirit we pray, I pray, that today would be a healing process for some people. Lord, that above everything else they desire, they will want to abide in the vine, in Jesus. And so this morning, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.